Pneumatology 2, the relation to the Christian believer. These are four headings that we shall consider: the Spirit's work in salvation, the Spirit's work subsequent to salvation, and the Spirit's work in connection with the believer's ministry and service, and the Spirit's work in relationship to the resurrection. The Spirit's work in salvation. The believer is born again by the Holy Spirit. The experience is wrought through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." John 3, 5, and 6. When one is born naturally, natural life is imparted. Adam lost his spiritual life when he sinned. Many believe he lost the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. God warned that death would follow disobedience to his word in Genesis 2:17, and as a result of sin, Adam was left in spiritual darkness. New spiritual life is imparted to the believer through the indwelling Holy Spirit, which is the mark of a New Testament Christian. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8, 9. All right. What? Know you not that your temple is the temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? 1 Corinthians 6, 19. This indwelling is not to be confused with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a subsequent outpouring after salvation. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is power for spiritual service. In Hebrews 6, it talks about baptisms, mikvahs. There are different baptisms. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the believer's sonship. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, for John 5, 12. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, Romans 8, 16. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father," Galatians 4, 16. The Holy Spirit baptizes the believer into the body of Christ. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. 1 Corinthians 12, 12, and 13. Much confusion has risen over this verse because some taught that it was referring to the baptism of the Spirit, which the 120 received on the day of Pentecost. Thus it is claimed the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when they are saved. But there is a vital difference between the Holy Spirit baptizing believers into the body of Christ and an operation of the Holy Spirit and being baptized with the Holy Ghost, which is an operation of Jesus. John the Baptist said, "I indeed have baptized you with water, but he," referring to Christ, "shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Mark 1 through 8. The baptism in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, conducted by the Holy Spirit, has to do with the believer's position in Christ, while the baptism spoken of in John, Mark 1, 8, is conducted by Jesus Christ and has to do with the power for service. The first of these two baptisms, that into the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit is the agent, while the body of Christ, the church, is the medium. And the second, Christ is the agent and the Holy Spirit is the medium. The verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 teaches that every believer is a member of the body of Christ through an operation of the Holy Spirit, which is called baptism. Furthermore, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should all be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Christian believers are baptized under Christ. Baptism signifies death, burial, and resurrection. The sinner is said to be baptized into the body of Christ because by faith he takes place of dying with Christ on Calvary and rising in newness of life in union with Christ. Water baptism is an outward symbol of that which is accomplished by the Holy Spirit. And indeed, the Holy Spirit seals the believer. in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, Ephesians 1:13-14. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. The sealing of the believer brings out the thought of ownership. When we are saved, God places his seal of ownership upon us. It was common in Paul's day for a merchant to go down to the harbor and select certain pieces of timber bearing his mark or seal. A seal of God's ownership of his saints is the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling their hearts. It's a pledge that we are his until the day he shall return and take him unto himself. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows those that are his. 2 Timothy 2:19-8. The Holy Spirit's work subsequent to salvation is without the Holy Spirit's ministry, first of all, no one could become a child of God. However, after your human heart has been regenerated by the Spirit of God and the life of Christ is imparted, the Holy Spirit does not leave us. If he did, we would slip back into our old former ways. So the Holy Spirit continues to minister, and he seeks to bring growth and progress in this new spiritual life. He is an active agent in the progressive walk of the child of God. The believer is, firstly, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We are bound to give thanks always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. And that's a whole topic that called soteriology or sanctification under the dealings of by sin. But we are set apart for the Lord, and we have a continual need for cleansing, or mikvahs, baptism. And mikvah was a ritual cleansing bath by the Jews. Through the choosing of the Father, he set us apart to sanctify us by the Holy Spirit, sprinkling the blood of Jesus Christ and belief in the truth of the Word of God. The world, the flesh, and the devil are ever present in the Christian's daily life. A sinner cannot save himself, so a believer cannot keep himself apart from the daily strength which the Holy Spirit imparts. We enjoy this gracious ministry as we believe in God's word and yield to the Holy Spirit. The believer is enabled to mortify, to kill, put off the old man flesh through the Holy Spirit. It is impossible for us to do the will of God with a carnal, fleshy mind, for we are... The Holy Spirit enables us to kill the carnal nature, the fleshy, lustful nature, make it dead, and live victoriously in the Spirit. We reckon the old man crucified with Christ in Romans 6:11, and choose to walk under the guidance and power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit transforms the believer into the image of Christ. We are all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:8. So the Lord transforms us by the Spirit from glory to glory. And he writes his word not on tablets of stones. The Spirit of the living God writes the Word of God in fleshy tablets of heart, 2 Corinthians 3:3. So being changed means transformed by the operation of the Holy Spirit into the same image of Christ, which you're endeavoring to reflect. We keep focus with Jesus. He impresses of his image is going to be implanted upon our lives through the inner ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit strengthens the believer for greater revelations of Christ, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might by his Spirit in the inner man. For what purpose? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God, Ephesians 3:16-19. And the Holy Spirit says in John 16:14 that Jesus said, he shall glorify me, referring to the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit leads the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, Romans 8:14. And if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law, Galatians 5:18. He will guide you, Jesus said of the Holy Spirit in John 16:13. We're going away we've never gone, and we were passing through unfriendly territory with enemies on every hand. What a blessing to have one who knows all that is ahead as our guide, the Holy Spirit's purpose. The Holy Spirit performs the office of comforter. And these passages are in the Gospel of John 14 through 16 through 18, John 14, 26, John 15, 26, and John 16, 7 through 5. This is discussed further in the ministry of the Holy Spirit as comforter. And the Holy Spirit brings fruit in the believer's life. And we will deal more extensively with this later. But here are the following scriptures. Galatians 5:22, Romans 14:17, 15:13, 1 Timothy 4:12, 2, Timothy 3:10, 2 Corinthians 6:6, Ephesians 5:8 and 9 and 2, Timothy 2:24 and 25, 2 Peter 1, 5 and 7. Thus, we know that the Holy Spirit's work is in connection with ministry and service. This is what in Zechariah 4:6, the word of the Lord said to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The Holy Spirit baptizes and fills the believer, giving power for service. Such as the familiar words in the Great Commission in Mark 6:15, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Stated by Luke 24:49, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. This baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire, Luke 3:16, and anointing of power comes as a result of a new phase of work of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus promised. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, Luke 24:49. And before he ascended in Acts 1:18, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, this ministry of the Holy Spirit must not be confused with other activities. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is distinctive from and subsequent to his regenerating work in the hearts of the unsaved. This particular baptism is that men and women might have necessary spiritual power to carry on the ministry which has been committed to them. We will discuss this later in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals and gives understanding to the Word of God. Your tool and guide is the Holy Bible, the written scripture. And it is God's complete revelation to man, pointing the means of salvation and instructions in how to live the Christian life. The most important ministries of the Holy Spirit is to reveal the truth of God's word to the heart of the believer. It is written by men who were moved upon by the Spirit of God in 2 Peter 1:21. It may rightly be said he is the author. And he gives us understanding in the truth contained in the pages. And everything that is part of the Christian life will line up with the principles of the Holy Scripture and are elucidated in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit helps believers to pray. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for saints according to the will of God, Romans 8:26 and 27. Praying always with all power, prayer and supplication in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, Jude 20. The Holy Spirit's ministry in prayer is very precious. Praying in the strength and the wisdom of the flesh is trying and difficult. But the Spirit anoints the heart and mind and opens the understanding and shows us how and what to pray, and what is the burden of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will enable the intercessor to pray in other tongues concerning the problems which no one could understand in the natural. That is called praying with the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 14:14 and 15. Praying under the anointing and guidance of the Holy Spirit becomes one of the Christian's most precious evidences. The Holy Spirit gives power for the preaching of the word. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's woman wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. 1 Corinthians 2:4. For our gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. And we are these witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. Acts 5:32. Effective preaching of the gospel must be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that will regenerate their heart. It is the Spirit that will back up. The power of the Spirit will back up anointed preaching with signs and with demonstrations of God's power. We came not to you just in speech, but with boldness and in power. It says in Timothy that in the last days, many will deny the power of God for ministry. And we see this happening with much misunderstanding about the ministry of the precious Holy Spirit. The signs are not the preaching of the gospel. They are signs that you are under the evidence of the authority of God. The message is to preach the gospel of the salvation through the name of Lord Jesus and a call to repentance. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21. This is the message of the preacher, and God has given us the Holy Spirit to give power to the preaching of it. The gospel of Jesus Christ, not the miracles accompanying it, that is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16 and 17. Let us keep this thought in mind. The Holy Spirit gives the believer spiritual gifts for ministry to others. We'll deal with this later in 1 Corinthians 12:4 and 11 and Romans 12:6 and 8. They are to be used for spiritual service for ministry to others. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for common good. The Holy Spirit works in connection with resurrection. He will raise the body of believers in the last days. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwells in you. Romans 8:11. The body is definite and part of man's being. It is included in Christ's redemptions. Romans 8:23. Christ was raised from the dead and now lives in a glorified body, so each believer who dies in Christ will experience a similar resurrection. This is attributed to the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We do not understand this mystery, but we are told the Holy Spirit will quicken or make alive our mortal body. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we looked for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Philippians 3:20 and 21. The Holy Spirit gives a foretaste of this resurrection by healing our mortal bodies. The expression shall also quicken your mortal bodies by spirit seems to also give the promise of the Holy Spirit bringing strength and healing to the believer now. And again, Ephesians 1:13 and 14, the Holy Spirit is our pledge, a down payment of our redemption of inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. Thus the pledge or foretaste of resurrection life is the healing of the mortal body now. Paul speaks about this resurrection life being manifested in our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians 4:10 and 11.